opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM as well as our very faithful 1110 AM, and it's the holiday season. I don't have to tell you that. We are right in the midst of it, and it's a wonderful time of year. It always feels good. It's fun putting up the tree. You start to get festive when things kind of go up. But it's also that time of year where you get... I think people do get depressed, and there's a sense of if your family wasn't perfect or there's something bothering you, it seems to be heightened at this time of year. And yes, we can push it away and it might not really matter. But, you know, between you and you, maybe between you and no one else, maybe you don't want to push it away. Maybe you kind of want to investigate why this kind of happens. Maybe this is not the first year it's happened. Maybe you always feel a slight dissatisfaction with yourself and your life, especially around family and at this time of year, like there's something a little bit off. And that's what we're going to talk about today. My guest, Jonas Webb, Dr. Jonas Webb, has written a wonderful new book called Running on Empty, Overcoming Your Childhood Emotional Neglect. Now, this is not the kind of book that says, wow, you know, you were beaten up brutally as a kid and you better deal with it. It's one of those really subtle areas that she's talking about. You know, maybe your parents got divorced and no one really cared that much how you felt when mom remarried. Oh, she might have said, are you okay? And you would have said yes. But maybe no one really paid attention to how it affected you. And maybe now you don't pay attention to how life affects you. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk about. And I want to welcome Dr. Jonas Webb to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Hi, Shannon. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm terrific, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us today. And this is really a terrific book because, as I said, I don't think this is really, now you can certainly clarify this, whether you have written this for those that have been, you know, severely abused or anything. It's really more of a subtle abuse that we kind of push under the carpet, isn't it?
Yes. It's more like erosion. It's not like an incident or anything that happens to children, it's something that fails to happen for children.
Uh-huh.
It's basically about when parents fail to validate or respond enough to a child's emotional needs,
mm-hmm.
and all of the things that happen from that.
So, you know, there was a time, and I'm a baby boomer, and anybody who's listening, that children were really meant to be seen and not heard. I mean, nobody really listened to us. It didn't matter what we felt. It didn't matter if we had an opinion. We truly did not have a voice. Our voice was not important. I mean, I don't think as the generation, people cared if you, I mean, I'm not saying everybody thought you should be unhappy, but you were not the one that ran the family, or your voice was not an equal voice in the family. Is that part of what you're talking about, that when you said, when you're growing up and you say, I'm hurt, or this doesn't feel right, or I don't like what's going on, that no one really heard you?
Exactly. I think there are so many parents who are really well-meaning and loving and want to do the best for their children. And this does apply to a lot of people in our generation whose parents were very loving, but they really didn't understand that part of raising a child is helping them learn how to deal with this deeply personal biological part of who we as human beings are, which is emotions. So this whole generation of parents and the ones before them didn't understand that what emotion is or that it matters. We didn't know back then what we know about emotion now. And so now we can say, hey, wait a minute, this is a really important thing. And when it doesn't, it can harm a child just as much to not attend to that as it can to mistreat a child in some way.
Well, how does it manifest in adulthood? Say your life is going along fine, but as I said, come the holidays, you feel this very underlying, I don't like this, this doesn't feel good, I don't like these parties where I feel like I'm just a wallflower, or whatever the case, however it manifests. But how does it manifest, not just at holidays, but how does it manifest in an adult's life?
Well, it's. I think it depends on what type of emotional neglect that you get as a child, and it can happen in so many different forms, but I'll give you some examples.
Mm-hmm.
If you grow up in a household that just kind of ignores emotion in general,
mm-hmm.
or that rejects a child who is having an emotion, that's giving the child the message that emotions are not important, or even worse, they're shameful or unacceptable. That child is going to push his or her emotions away, because that is going to allow the child to get by in the family successfully,
mm-hmm.
and thrive in the family. But then as an adult, what happens is that your feelings are pushed away and you don't really have access to them the way that you should. And my experience in working with so many people over 20 years as a psychologist has been that the result of that is that people end up feeling really kind of just disconnected and unfulfilled because they're missing something that's really important, which is their emotional connection to other people, to the world, and even to themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds a little like, why would you not have that emotional connection to yourself? But I so get it, you know, not understanding what you really like or what your needs really are because you didn't pay attention to them growing up. How did you kind of detect this? I mean, it sounds like this was something you detected through a series of different people as opposed to something you learned maybe when you were getting your PhD.
Absolutely. It really was very much over time. It was from seeing person after person in my office who really had a pretty fine life and said they had had a really fine childhood, and but yet they were feeling either disconnected or unfulfilled or just like there was something wrong with them, that they were different than other people.
Mm-hmm.
And or they were struggling with, you know, putting themselves first and self-care, and there didn't seem to be any explanation for it. And then I started to realize that I was looking in the wrong place and that it really wasn't that they had some memory from childhood that could explain it. It was actually something much more insidious,
mm-hmm.
and that it was something that had not happened for them, not something that had happened to them.
Gotcha.
And once I realized this, it just opened up this whole new way of helping people, which has been tremendous in my practice. It really helps people be able to start to heal once they realize what's wrong.
I bet, because when you can't put when you can't define it, or you feel that you're being foolish for thinking this is something important, which probably happens to so many people. Geez,
yeah.
My life seems good. It seems foolish that I kind of, you know, lack this, lack that. Why am I complaining? I shouldn't complain. You know, everything's okay when there's something really wrong. And again, it doesn't sound like, and I know from reading the book, it's not about blame. It's about discovering. But one of the things that you have discovered and write about in the book is that many people who have suffered from childhood emotional neglect often lack self-discipline as adults. So is that what happens, like self-discipline to get to the place you need to be in life, get to maybe you don't take care of yourself good enough, maybe you use too many drugs or alcohol or something like that? Is that common?
Yes, all of those. And if you think about, you know, people are not born with self-discipline. It's something that you learn through your parents, just like we learn everything else from our parents as we're growing up. So if you have parents that don't structure you in the way that you need it, for example, noticing, like knowing your child enough to see, oh, my child really struggles with exercise, so this is something I'm going to have to take on this battle and teach my child how to do, make herself do something she doesn't want to do, that is a skill that you really don't learn unless your parents make you do things you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that now our current generation of parents can be so attentive that sometimes we fail to set the structure up for our kids because of the opposite reason, because we're overly paying attention to what our child wants.
Well, and that's hence the helicopter parent, the parent that never lets the child do anything on their own. And we're slightly doing our kids, as you say, a disservice by not allowing them to fail occasionally. And you know, if it becomes too easy, I mean, you know, we now often give our kids awards for just doing something, not even winning. So, you know, maybe we have gone the other way. But as I often tell my teenage daughter, I'm very glad you have a voice. Now, sometimes that voice backfires to me. But but I'm glad she has a voice, that her voice is equally important in a family. And I think that's the evolution of generations. Because it's probably the case that many of these people who feel that they have suffered from emotional neglect probably did not give that to their children. But what else could they have given to their children that maybe they didn't want to do? Could they be depressed and pass that on to their kids?
Yeah, I really think people in general don't understand or realize how much impact they have on their children.
Yeah.
And I don't say this to scare people, although it is a little bit scary. I'm a parent myself, and I'm scared by it. But just there have been so many research studies done that have just proven over and over and over again that the way we interact with our children has such a huge impact upon who they become
mm-hmm.
as adults. And a depressed parent is going to have an impact on a kid, which is why it's so important for us all to take care of ourselves. And this is what my book is really about, is take care of yourself so that you don't pass down to your kids these insidious things that you didn't get.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a good lesson. But although I want to kind of take the other side of that, if you care too much about yourself and not about your child, you're repeating that same mistake, right? I mean, if you say getting divorced is important for me, I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care, but I need to do this, which you might need to do it. But what you're, I think what I'm getting from your book is that you need to do it, but you need to listen to their emotions as well.
Yes, it's all about that. It's mm-hmm. all about paying attention to how your child feels and responding in the way that they need it.
Right. So you can't, I mean, it sounds like a very fine line there. You have to take care of yourself. You have to make sure your emotions are really important so that they understand that, but not more important than them. So again, we all know that parenting is really hard, and this is another way to look at it, right? I mean, that you have to kind of nicely, juggle that kind of line there so that your needs aren't more important than theirs is what it comes down to.
It's all about balance, and you know the thing that's really freeing about this whole approach mm-hmm. and way of thinking is that you can do what's best for yourself as a parent, and you should, and it frees you up to do that as long as you're taking care of your children's emotional responses and emotional mm-hmm. needs. You don't have to helicopter them. You don't have to put them in 1,000 activities. Just pay attention to them, know who they are, and respond to their emotional needs, and they'll be fine.
So when you read this book, Running on Empty, Overcoming Your Childhood Emotional Neglect, are there lessons for parents here that we can look at and see where maybe our parents went wrong, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and change it and make sure that it goes right?
Yes, there's a chapter on identifying what type of parents you had, mm-hmm. and there are a number of different types, and one of them is what I mentioned before, the well-meaning but neglected themselves parent who really loves their kid and wants the best, and all the different ways that parents can be taken up by other things and end up not providing their children with the emotional responsiveness. And, like I said, this book is not about blame. It's right. all about just understanding what went wrong for you and how you can correct it and then not pass it on to your own children.
Right, which is so important right there, because fixing it, making yourself happy, really allows everyone to be happy around you. So there, you know, if you're not happy, the old saying, if mom's not happy, no one's happy.
Well, it is so true.
So I think, and I'm not leaving dads out of here, dads too, you know.
Mm-hmm,
but truly,
mm-hmm.
if you're not happy around you, those around you aren't going to be happy either. So this is a really, you've done a wonderful job on this book. You've really, I think, touched a real kind of lazy point that no one's ever touched before that is so important to so many people. The book is Running on Empty, Overcoming Your Childhood Emotional Neglect. Dr. Jonas Webb, I thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you so much. Everybody, it is on Shannon's Corner. So if you're in the car and you're running around, just go home, go to Shannon's Corner. There's a direct link to her book. We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Santa quitting smoking. So if you don't know about that, you're going to hear about the controversy in this beautiful new book, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Well, not